Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues hour number two, obviously. Brought to you by Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. You will beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. And I got tickets to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. An amazing, it's a great show to take the whole family to. It is like Pink Floyd on steroids with lasers and pyrotechnics. An amazing rock music. And it's Christmas theme, holiday theme. It's a great show. I'm going to tell you when to call. We're going to do the news quiz. And the lines light up, so call quickly at 800-222-5222. But there are quite a few legal issues that involve you and your health, et cetera. Oh, I just lost Jessica Levinson. Dino, if it wouldn't be too much trouble to get her back on the line, that'd be great. I wanted to talk about Jeff Sessions, and he testified yesterday. I don't know if you saw it. In a Department of Justice oversight hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it was really contentious right from the beginning, and didn't answer a lot of questions that specifically the Democrats had wanted him to answer. So I wanted to find out what that's about. Also, a judge is going to plan to rule next week on Obamacare and the subsidies, which affect you, and I wanted to know how that is possibly going to turn out, or probably going to turn out, and who better to ask then Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law School and the president of the Los Angeles Ethics Commission. Good morning, Jessica.
I love the surprise with which you always announce my title of president of the LA Ethics Commission.
Well,
it's like there's a question mark at the end. Really?
No. It's just it's such a big honor to be the president of the LA Ethics Commission. Do you get special perks? Like they bring you whatever you want, craft services. They give you a car for that. Anything?
So I got a water bottle. Last Tuesday, we had a five-hour meeting, and I got a water bottle and a spinach juice, which I will take. Which, believe me, I will take. And I get free parking on P17 of City Hall.
Oh, there you go. So, now, are we the citizens paying for your spinach juice?
You know, I actually handed someone a couple of dollars, so I'm not sure. I think there was an offer to generously pay for that.
All right. Because I don't mind. I don't mind. I just want full disclosure. So, Jeff Sessions, you saw that he testified in front of the it was the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they were grilling him. And what they wanted to find out was questions that centered around Russia. And he really avoided saying anything of real substance. He refused to say whether or not he'd been asked for an interview by the special counsel, Robert Mueller, saying he's going to check and let you know. He also had a real heated interaction with Al Franken, Senator Al Franken, who brought up the fact that Sessions changed his story from having no contact with the Russian government during the campaign to having no improper contact after it was real he met with the Russian ambassador. And he accused Franken of being totally unfair. What's the deal with having to answer questions and saying that the fact that it's protected speech because he talked to the president, but the president never said that he shouldn't use this executive privilege. He never pulled the executive privilege button, did he?
Not that I know of. I mean, this is a pattern of behavior from Jeff Sessions. And, I would say this regardless of whether he has an R or a D behind his name, is that there's a problem here when, first of all, you don't provide straightforward answers on the Senate forms, then when you don't really clarify when you're testifying, and then when you try and kind of, frankly, weasel out of clarifying. And then when you, on top of it, act just totally indignant about the fact that you're being questioned. I mean, you know, we've seen a couple of things, obviously. There was the form that said, I had no contact. Then, as it turns out, there is some contact. And then he says, well, I guess now I have to recuse myself from anything dealing with the Russian investigation. Then, as it turns out, he didn't recuse himself because he's involved in the firing of James Comey, who was the one investigating the allegations regarding Russia. And so my guess is that what happens to Jeff Sessions is nothing but a lot of bad PR, and that the people who – it's going to be like everything else in America right now. The people who support Jeff Sessions are going to say, I can't believe he's being subjected to this unfair treatment. This is really terrible. And the other people who aren't predisposed to support Jeff Sessions will say, you know, this is really unconscionable that he's lying on forms, he's lying to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and then he's – taking these frankly kind of nonsensical ways of trying to explain why he's not lying.
So what happens? So what is the recourse at this point? What's the legal recourse? And like you said, it doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican initial in front of it. It's how you conduct yourself in front of a Senate Judiciary Committee and what they're asking and what you do have to answer and what you don't have to answer. Can they bring him back in and force him to answer things? Or did he, even though he ticked off people, did he skirt through?
Well, so it's interesting because you said it doesn't matter if you have an R or D next to your name, which is what I said, but it does for the issue of what's the recourse. I mean, if they wanted to go after him, they could say, you need to come back in and account for these answers, and you need to account for the discrepancies. And my guess is that that's not going to happen because of the lack of political will. And, you know, are these the type of lies? You know, it's, I think it's important to realize that if in any other administration, the attorney general was caught making these misstatements, this would be the only thing dominating the news cycle. But we're basically drinking water from a fire hydrant every day. And so this has become a comparatively lesser story.
Well, but the big part, too, Jessica, to what you're pointing out is let's cut to the fact that one of the big headlines is that he's still getting this about his story with interactions to the Russians. He was asked.
Right.
He was asked if the by Senator Ben Sasse, a Republican from Nebraska, whether the U.S. government is doing enough to prevent Russian interference in future elections, and his answer was, "We're not." So you're weighing in on that, but then you go, "Well, okay, but
yeah.
Give me more context to that as far as what you're seeing, who you talk to, whatever." And then he says, I don't have to answer that question. It's executive privilege, et cetera. So, yeah, we have an election coming up. And also, Nikki Haley today is quoted as saying that the Russian cyber interference in American elections is warfare and that we are in big trouble with this thing. She said Putin, his denials of interference were merely an effort to save face. Her quote is, everybody knows that Russia meddled in our elections. Everybody knows that they're not just meddling in the United States election, they're doing this across multiple continents. So it's a big issue, and we've got elections, midterms coming up. How do you resolve that when people in an administration are dancing around it to different levels?
I mean, I'm going to give you a totally depressing answer. We're not going to resolve it. Mm. We're not doing, I mean, so the fact that Jeff Sessions is saying we're not doing enough, the fact that Nikki Haley is saying this is a huge problem, we're not doing enough, I don't know anyone who can say with a straight face that we're doing anything near what we should. And so, it's October 2017. The midterms are in 13 months. This situation will not be rectified. I mean, what people need to do is, I'm not saying that it's not safe to vote. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the voting machines themselves will be hacked. What I'm saying is it is absolutely clear that Russia, through a variety of means, is trying to affect our electoral outcomes. And they're being successful at that, and we're not combating that appropriately.
All right, and it's going to be fascinating to see in 13 months how they deal with it. Let's move on to something else. The judge is planning on ruling next week on the Obamacare subsidies fight. It's U.S. District Court Judge Vince Chhabria, I think, is the name. And the deal is the law, as I understand it, and you can help clarify, it doesn't require that the payments have to be made on a schedule. So they can hold off and pay them at their own discretion. But the question is, can they legally withhold the payments? And then he, with his ruling, could be stepping on some federal judges' toes, right, in Washington to see if he orders a restraining order. So how do we move forward here? And again, this to me is not so much a political issue, as far as everybody listening wants to know what's happening with their health care and what's happening with the subsidies and can they tank the markets and what's going to happen to people who need the subsidies. So this is an important ruling. How do you think it's going to go, and how, on what grounds will this judge rule if there are federal judges whose toes he could be stepping on?
Yeah, so I will say that federal judges tend to be very respectful of turf and respectful of kind of domain and not stepping on each other's toes. So you exactly laid out the issue that this judge is looking at, which is that the Obamacare requires these periodic payments, but it doesn't say the 30th day of every month, or it doesn't say every 3 weeks. So it just says basically regularly. Now, the question is whether or not the Trump administration can withhold those payments right now. And that that is really a political calculus. That's something they're doing to try and gain leverage in other negotiations. And what the challengers are saying is, you have to make this determination, Judge, right now, because you're going to send the insurance department, you're going to send the insurance markets into chaos if you don't give us a ruling that these subsidies need to be made. So this judge is basically up against two things that judges tend to not like. And one is claims that if you don't act, you're going to create chaos. And it's going to be real and practical chaos for real people who want to know what is happening to their health care and how much they're going to have to pay.
Okay.
And on the other hand, he's against something that judges tend not to like either, which is, you know, going into the domain potentially of another judge. If I, you know, it, at this point, I think because it, in a lot of ways, there's, to my knowledge, there's not another case directly on point which would tell the judge what to do. My guess, and it's a very weak guess, is that he may say, I'm deferring to the other judges to make their determination. But there's no kind of, there's no good option, and I don't envy him. And I'm sorry that it's a vague answer.
No, I hear, but it's
we don't know what he's going
to
do.
It's reality. You're talking to Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law School. Right. Let's move on to Harvey Weinstein for a moment. We know Harvey Weinstein left the company. He's been thrown off the board. He's been fired from his own company. And now there's noise that he may be suing his own company because, if it's correct, what we've been told and what we've read, that in his contract there are provisions that allow him to pay the company if for settlements or legal judgments for any kind of behavior that violate their code of conduct. I wish that was here. It's like, oop, it's your third time. Now you owe $200,000. So his lawyer, I'm sure, is going to say, well, if they were built into his contract, the board knows about it. The board approved it. So he should not have been fired because you guys knew, you guys approved it, you knew of the behavior. Is that possible just because because he says they knew the behavior and they condoned the behavior with this payout, that he can sue them for whatever, for damages, et cetera?
It's possible. So my guess is that it's absolutely possible he can sue them. I mean, I can decide to sue you because I don't like the editing, but of course I would never do that. I mean, so you can sue for anything. But whether or not it would be successful, I mean, my guess is no, because even if you have contractual language in there, there's a couple things to think about. One is how exactly is this worded? Does it really envision claims of potential criminal activity? And does it really just say you need to pay those out?
Got
the
it.
Other is that contract law does have some limitations. So you can contract around a bunch of things, but there are still safety valves in place that allow judges to say you can't contract against public policy. And so we don't want to uphold employment contracts that basically say, look, you can engage in potentially or allegedly criminal behavior, and we would not be able to fire you for that. And so my guess is that this is really an effort to extract some money. It's not an effort. They don't. It's going to be a very difficult challenge.
Understood. And then let's move, because we only got about a minute or two here. The NFL and the president, it's very interesting because Trump is blasting the NFL for not adopting this requirement the players stand during the anthem. To give it context, he's talked to Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys, and after he did, Jones, meanwhile, protested with the team. They took a knee before the anthem. And then afterwards, after his conversation with the president, two conversations, Jones said everybody should stand or they will be penalized. So Colin Kaepernick is saying he's not getting hired by teams because there's an effort of collusion to not hire him. He's better than a lot of the quarterbacks now who are being put in there because of injuries, et cetera. So he's going to sue the league, and he has the union backing. My question is, does he have a case? Can he show collusion between several teams, which would be hard? But the bigger story is, if the federal government is inserting themselves into this issue with the president putting pressure on a team to convert their or alter their policy, does that make it easier for him to prove that there was collusion, that after Jerry Jones talked to the president, he changed his attitude? Now, the league has come out and said they're not going to change their policy. However, he's not getting hired. So does he have a case here, or is it going to be a really impossible one to prove?
I think it's a very difficult case. And I think the fact that, so there are a number of things you have to prove for collusion. And it's not just people were trying to make it harder for me to be hired, or there was a kind of understanding. So he has to show that there was collusion among the teams, not among the administration and the teams. Then he has to actually have specific evidence of collusion. And I think that there's also some kind of countervailing evidence here that shows maybe there were some teams that didn't want to hire him, but there are others who are willing to, and that goes against his case. With respect to the Trump administration claim, you know, the NFL has said, we're not going to change our policy. So that, to me, unless it indirectly shows that the Trump administration was helping to create a agreement among the teams that we will not hire him, I don't think that that actually does help his case. I mean, it hurts the Trump administration in some other ways, but I think he has a very difficult case just in terms of garnering the evidence and showing that he can meet that threshold.
That at least two teams colluded. Jessica Levinson, professor at Loyola Law School, president of the Los Angeles Ethics Commission. The blog is politics.lls.edu, the Twitter at Levinson, Jessica, and I thank you for coming on the website, lls.edu. With 30 seconds to go, school's going well?
With 30 seconds to go, how are you? school is going well. We actually have just been talking about whether or not I've been teaching marital property. So as I said to my students, it's every day is a happy day because we either talk about divorce or death. So there's really no need to dress up for Halloween.
Well, I've told Tommy, who I've been married to for a while, that if we get divorced and she wants half my stuff, she's got to get it from my ex-wife because I don't know where it is. So you can teach that in the class. All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Thank you, Jessica. I'll talk to you again soon when we have another list of legal issues we need to go over. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you take it easy. I see people are already calling in for the news quiz. We're going to do that shortly. I also want to talk about a situation in Congress that made my head spin. This is your Congress and your Congress people voting because apparently, and it's kind of sad that the GOP Senator Thad Cochran is back. Now, he's ill. Everybody thought he was going to retire. I'll tell you what happened with him when he did show up for a vote. And just know, this is your government, the best of your government at work. I'll spell this story out for you next when Peter Tilden at 10 continues here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two, that is the sound of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're wonderful. It's a rocking Christmas holiday show for the entire family, and it's a blast. There's blasts. So call now if you want to play the news quiz, 800-222-5222, and I'll do it right after the news. But this is government at its best. So GOP Senator Thad Cochran, they need his vote. And he showed up. He showed up yesterday in Congress. And everybody thought he was going to retire because he's just not in good health. And I feel horrible for him, but he's 79 years old. So he's there. He's being interviewed because the media is there to hear what's going on. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was doing. He came into the hall, and they said to him, "So are you going to stay on as appropriations chairman?" And his answer was, "As chairman of the appropriations committee?" Like with a question mark. He had to be guided by staff around a security checkpoint inside the Capitol. He started to walk into a first floor room, even though the chamber is on the second floor. So they usher him up there. When another reporter asked whether leadership had pressured Cochran to return for a vote on the budget resolution, Cochran smiled and responded, "It's a beautiful day outside." So all of a sudden we got Chauncey Gardner coming into the Senate to vote, but it gets better than this. He sat quietly in his seat during the session, and on one amendment, he voted yes, despite being told by an aide to vote no. So then they tried to get the senator to switch his vote, but he kept flashing the thumbs up sign, even walking over to the clerk tallying the vote and doing so. The floor staffers repeatedly told him leadership wanted a no vote, and several more moments passed before he finally realized he was voting the wrong way and then changed his vote. Is that so? A guy, I mean, he's obviously not in great shape. He doesn't even know what he's voting on, where he is, where his office is. It's amazing. Steve, can you turn up my screen? Thank you. I mean, it's sad. I keep hitting it, but I got no sound from my screen. All right. I was going to button out with that, but I guess I can't play it. All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Let us do the news quiz next. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. When Peter Tilden at 10 continues right after this.
KABC News, live and local at 11:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. An unconfirmed report of a possible person with a gun this morning has prompted the lockdown and partial evacuation of Olive View, UCLA Medical Center, and Sylmar. NBC4's John Caddies-Klimak says some possible suspects were detained by sheriff's deputies.
News Chapter 4 also caught from up above some people that they had detained. These are people that were being questioned who matched a description of somebody who might have had the gun. That we were told that, that some people were put into handcuffs, some of them were not, but all of them so far have been released.
Some patients were wheeled out of the medical center on gurneys while sheriff's deputies searched the facility floor by floor. No active shooter has been found, and there are no reports of gunshots or injuries, thankfully. The hashtag MeToo social media campaign has brought allegations of sexual harassment to the Democratic Party of Orange County.
We absolutely condemn any kind of harassment of any kind.
Fran Sadeo is chairwoman of the Democratic organization and says a formal investigation has been launched against the man who has since left to work on a political campaign.
We are very supportive of these young women if they do, in fact, go forward with any of their allegations.
The man, who will not be identified because no criminal charges have been filed, allegedly touched the thigh of one woman and pushed his body against another while trying to remove her underwear. James Rojas, KABC News.
President Trump met with the governor of Puerto Rico today at the White House, where he told reporters FEMA can't stay in Puerto Rico forever, less than a month after the island was hit by Hurricane Maria.
Well, I can say that for anywhere. I can say that for any place we go. You know, at some point, FEMA has to leave. First responders have to leave, and the people have to take over. Puerto Rico is a more difficult circumstance, as you can understand, John. But at a certain point, we have to leave the various locations that we're in.
The president also gave his administration a 10 for its response to Maria. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Cubs avoided the sweep by beating the Dodgers 3-2 in Game 4 of the NLCS. For L.A.'s first loss of the postseason, Blues still lead the series 3-1. Dodgers can clinch a World Series berth with a win over Chicago this tonight at Wrigley Field. The game actually starts at 5 p.m. Yankees shut out the Astros 5-0 to take a 3-2 lead in the ALCS, with Game 6 coming up tomorrow afternoon in Houston. L.A. Kings mauled Montreal 5-1 to move back into first place in the Pacific Division. They also improved to 5-0-1. Kings visit Columbus Saturday, 3:30 p.m. here on KABC. It'll be their first game out of California in the regular season. That's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 11:34. Here's your 790 KABC market check, and the Dow's regained most of its early morning losses. It's now down just 11 points, while the S&P 500 is in the red by about a point and a half. The Nasdaq still down 30 points, so it's off nearly a half percent for the day. KABC, SoCal weather, partly cloudy today, highs in the 70s in the L.A. Basin, low 80s in the valleys. Partly cloudy, a few degrees cooler tomorrow, but temperatures could hit triple digits again next week. And right now, 71 in Chatsworth, 72 in Laguna Beach, at 70 in Brentwood. Get news at the top of the hour, at the bottom, and when it breaks. I'm Jeff Whittle, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Operators are standing by.
Hello?
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead, say it.
790-KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues hour number two, and this is where we learn about a lot of news stories together. We play the news quiz, and somebody gets to win tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and that person just may be Kathy in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, fine.
So you ready to take the quiz? You know how this works?
No, I don't know how.
Okay, so here's what we do. Here's what we do. We ask multiple choice or true and false questions. You get most of them right, and I give you the tickets. But you got to listen to me carefully, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question number one. The University of Florida is bracing for violence in anticipation of what? A, a World Series win by the Orlando Mouseketeers? B, Hurricane Clancy? Or C, a speech by white supremacist Richard Spencer? Is it A, B, or C?
C.
Hundreds of police officers wearing bulletproof vests were deployed at the University of Florida to guard against unrest over speech by white nationalists. It was expected to draw thousands in protest, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep the university campus safe. So very good. Now you get it. Russian President Vladimir Putin said what today about Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un? A, send them Katy Perry and a tiger and we'll call it a deal. B, don't back them into a corner. Or C, grow up. Was it A, B, or C? A, B, or C?
B.
There you go. Russian President Vladimir Putin warned that North Korea must not be backed into a corner and urged dialogue to end this nuclear standoff with the U.S. Tensions have increased between Pyongyang and Washington in recent weeks, with the president promising in August that North Korea would be met with fire and fury. Donald Trump this morning tweeted that what may have been who may have been co-conspirators during the 2016 election. Was it A, the FBI, Democrats in Russia, B, Apple, Google, and Amazon, or C, Bernie Sanders, Che Guevara, and the Illuminati? Was it A, B, or C? A.
Oh.
Yes. President Donald Trump sent a tweet on Thursday morning that read, workers of firm involved with the discredited fake dossier take the fifth. Who paid for it? Russia, the FBI, or the Dems, or all? What was just discovered on the moon that may raise hope for human colonization? Was it A, large deposits of Velveeta and tortilla chips? Was it B, lava tube caves? Or C, Wi-Fi? Was it A, B, or C?
The Japanese
Aerospace Exploration Agency discovered an enormous cave under the lunar surface, and they call it a very significant discovery due to its value for both science and human expansion into space. It can be turned into a man cave, so if we go up there and colonize, guys have a place to go. All right. Former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick has filed a grievance against the NFL for what? A, breach of contract. B, bad manners, or C, collusion? Was it A, B, or C?
C.
You are great. According to multiple sources, free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick has filed a grievance against the NFL for collusion, and there's a legal analysis to explain how it could work, but we just had Jessica Levinson on who said not the great chance for him winning that lawsuit. California Governor Jerry Brown has vetoed a bill that would have done something. What is it that it would have done? A, attempted to force Donald Trump to release his tax returns, B, announcing that California is seceding from the union, or C, made toilet paper free for all Californians. Is it A, B, or C?
A.
Governor Brown vetoed a bill late Sunday that would have required public release of tax returns because he said it's a slippery slope. He also, upon further inspections, did not release his tax returns when he ran. A California couple survived a raging wildfire early last week by doing what? Covering themselves with dirt and wet towels? B, hiding inside a shower with the water on, or C, jumping into their neighbor's pool? Was it A, B, or C?
It was C. I heard that.
Yeah, they did. Shortly after midnight on Monday morning, Joe Pasco, 70, his wife, Jan, 65, decided the only way to save themselves was to jump into the neighbor's pool, which was no deeper than 4 feet, and they managed to stay submerged for 6 hours, and I understand their fingers are finally unwrinkling at this point. A pair of passengers arrived last Thursday at Newark Liberty International Airport, and they were found out 13 pounds of cocaine where? Where was it hidden? A, sewn into a pair of neck pillows, B, inside their daughter's teddy bear, or C, inside an acoustic guitar? Is it A, B, or C?
A.
Yeah. The sewn into a pair of neck pillows. So everybody out there, you got to move it from the neck pillow now because they are on to you. And the last question, you're doing very well. According to a personal finance magazine, Kiplinger, what state is the most tax-friendly state? Is it A, Texas, B, Wyoming, or C, North Dakota? A, B, or C?
B.
It is Wyoming. The top 10, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arizona, Delaware, North Dakota, Nevada, Florida, South Dakota, Alaska, and Wyoming. You did very, very well, Kathy, and I'm going to put you on hold. You're going to talk to Dino, and he's going to get you tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and they're going to blow your mind. You're going to have a wonderful time.
Oh, yes. I love them. I saw them a while ago, and they are wonderful.
Oh, that's
great.
I can't
wait till next Christmas.
Well, congratulations. I know. I can't wait. Congratulations.
Thank
I'm glad
you.
We could send you. Have a wonderful time. And we'll talk to you again, hopefully, here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming up, lots of stories we still want to get to. Like, I still want to talk about the road diet. It looks like we may be getting our roads back. Thank you very much. And the IRS has done it again. They've seized 59 grand from somebody, and he's fighting to get it back. Why in the United States of America can they seize your money, even if you've done nothing wrong, and then you got to fight to get it back? We'll discuss those stories and several more. Plus, we'll take your calls, 800-222-5222, and Peter Tilden at 10. Hour number two continues right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10, hour number two. So, a couple things. Does anybody know what happened to the poopy jogger in Colorado? Remember the woman who's squatting and pooping? Dino, do you have any idea? Dino's not listening to the show. Why should you be? So I have no idea. If anybody knows, before we're off the air, call 800-222-5222. I think that is also one of the top-selling Halloween costumes. But you got to squat the entire time, and they got to come to you to give the candy. The road diet, congratulations. You people made enough noise. We started on this so long ago. But it looks like they're announcing today that they're going to return lanes on Culver Boulevard, Jefferson Boulevard, and Pershing Drive, and we will stay on it. I love how they call it, they wanted to do road diet to calm traffic. No, they wanted to do it to stop it. I don't know when this insanity started with the bike lanes and slowing us down for safety, but it's got to stop. So what are they doing now? They're making changes like speed feedback signs that tell you how fast you're going, traffic signals that give pedestrians a head start. Wow, how hard was that? Speed tables and new crosswalks with flashing beacons to alert drivers to the presence of pedestrians. All of that stuff is stuff they should have done. It's a no-brainer. Instead, let's take away lanes and see what happens. And they're also going to have something called rest in red signals. They'll be installed at a lot of key intersections along Culver Boulevard and Pershing Drive. They remain red off-peak hours and change to green when the vehicle or pedestrian approaches. So I guess fine. And Mike Bonin is all on top of this now. I guess, wait, why would he do that? Oh, yeah, because everybody went nuts and wants to recall him, and the recall effort is still happening. The interesting thing, though, Mike, is the recall may take longer than we planned because we can't get anywhere because your road diets. So how asinine is that, that they really wanted to sell us road diets as a way to make us safer, and nobody thought the fact that everybody's going to go flood neighborhoods and make them less safe and that deaths are going to go up. Really? Didn't think that through. So thank you. Everybody, thanks for participating and making noise. They're starting to strip away some of the road diet streets. So we'll keep the pressure on. And if there's one that comes near you, let us know, please, so we can publicize it and embarrass the politicians who are doing it. All right. Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back with Crosstalk with Dr. Drew next.
Looking for some crosstalk, baby, believe me. I need crosstalk, baby.
Talk Radio 790 KBC. Peter Tilden at 10, wrapping up. Making way for Dr. Drew.
Yes, sir.
On the phone number, 800-222-5222, of course, when you want to talk to him.
Yes, please do call and be a part of it. Next, bottom of the hour, I've got our friend, legal analyst Michael Wilson, in here. We talk about Colin Kaepernick, of course, and him not showing up to the owner's meeting and what that means, and did he cast a vote by not showing. And I've got Roop coming in talking about a couple of things. Feinstein, apparently not a shoe-in for this.
I know. She's being challenged, right?
Yeah. Also, Channing Tatum has pulled his new project from the Weinstein Group.
You took a weird pause after pulled his. My mind went to so many places for a second, for a nanosecond.
I didn't know whether I was going to actually name the name of the project because I thought, what does that
what
give
now?
I got to
know what the project is.
Forgive me, it's called. Forgive me. Oh, okay. So I don't even know. But I had.
By the way, I love these brave souls who are now announcing that they're pulling projects. Making a statement pulling.
Yeah.
There is no Weinstein company. The reason you were there was so that Harvey Weinstein could produce it, be a bully, and get you an Oscar and get you advertising and cut through all the nonsense because that's what he does. There is no Weinstein company. That's why they're pulling.
That is really an interesting point.
His agent said to him, there's no Weinstein company.
Well, no, just find a place for it because
exactly,
it's not here anymore.
You look brave when you come out and announce, I am pulling, I am now, because of everything that happened, I am pulling my project from the Weinstein company. There is no Weinstein. There's an intern at a table going, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what to say. You know that's the truth. Call the Weinstein company today and see
if anybody answers.
Take a meeting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Steve, get on that. So there's just a lot going on. So many interesting things I want to kind of talk about. Not the least of which is I saw an article about Monica Lewinsky being silent at a recent red carpet and not talking, speaking out about Weinstein. I thought, well, that's an
interesting. Is she the go-to?
Well, that was my first response.
Anybody's cheating, get her on the phone.
Then I started taking polls amongst women. Like, how does a woman see Monica Lewinsky versus, what Bill Clinton did versus, say, what happened to Lauren Savant and what Weinstein did? And I got some interesting results, and I'm going to give it to the listeners.
Well, and the other part, well, okay, I don't want to say anything. Give my take.
Go ahead, let's hear your opinion.
Well, she was having an affair with a powerful man, and he used his position.
But you can't do that.
His position, whatever. Weinstein, I don't know that Bill Clinton was sitting there with his pants open.
Yes, he was.
Waiting for her to come in and say, do it. So
he didn't have that move. He had a different move.
Yeah, you know the move? I'm president. Want to see the Oval Office? Want to listen to the conversation with Boutrous Ghali?
And you,
Gee golly.
Wow.
Gee golly, would I?
Wow.